Wake up, everyone. It's time for a call to action. Welcome to Call to Action Today, where there are no sacred cows, with your host, Steve Noble, just an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and he's calling you out every week to live the Christian life in your home, your work, and even in politics. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH, or check him out online at c2atoday.org. And now, with some much-needed cough medicine for the church, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Hey, all you Call to Action listeners, thanks for tuning in. This is Chris Connell filling in for Steve Noble. Steve is away with family. I think he's up in Chicago, actually. And we are thrilled to be here, and we are a couple days from Christmas. So we're going to talk about Christmas, and I'm real excited about our guest we've got today here on Theology Thursday. We've got Dr. Jamie Duby joining me here in just a moment via phone. He's a dean of college over at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary in Wake Forest, North Carolina. And Merry Christmas, everybody. I hope you're having a great Christmas week. I hope that Christmas is not a time when you feel like it's a reminder of what you don't have, right? If it is, I pray the grace and the strength of the Lord be with you. My wife and I had all three of our kids around Christmas time because we were not really smart with our kids planning, and we are thrilled. But man, it is survival time. We have gone through two of four Christmas parties because we have to have one on the day they were born, and then they have ones that, you know, they have other stuff they do when it's not their day. And anyway, it's kind of crazy. But anyway, this is Chris Connell. I serve at a great church in the Raleigh area called RFA Church. Shout out to my lead pastor, Chad Harvey. And today we're going to talk about questions on Christmas. And I hear all these funny questions, simple questions, serious questions people ask about Christmas. They talk about, you know, all these things about whether or not, you know, they can celebrate Christmas because it happened at a, you know, a time of year when it was really a pagan holiday. You know, are the stories about Jesus' birth historically accurate? All these things. And so I'm really excited. I'm going to bring on the line here. This is Dr. Jamie Dew from Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. How are you today, sir?
Hey, Chris. I'm doing all right, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. I'm fine. Thank you so much for your call in and
absolutely.
And your time. And yeah, I just appreciate it. You went through, I don't say anything you don't want to say in the air, but you know, Steve told me you had a bit of a health scare in the last year.
I did. Yeah, back in February, I started hemorrhaging. Just started bleeding a lot. I won't say from where because you know we're on the radio and all.
10-4, 10-4.
The listener can imagine. And so anyway, I got really bad. Ended up in ICU for 5 days and had some pretty big surgery. Got it fixed and been on the mend ever since.
All right. Well, I'm glad I guess the Lord's purposes weren't done with you, right? So
that's right.
I'm glad you're still with us. But anyway, and you can yell at me off the air for bringing that on the air, okay?
Oh, it's all right. It's all right.
So anyway, so Dr. Dew, I just first off, I said this last time, we did a Theology Thursday to with you, and you are the Dean of College at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. You're also the Associate Professor of History and Ideas and Philosophy. Is that right?
That's correct. So I teach philosophy. My administrative responsibility is over the college, but my teaching responsibility sort of spans across the entire institution. I teach undergrad college classes in philosophy. I teach master's level philosophy classes, and then even PhD doctoral in a variety of different subjects.
Our lead pastor is a huge fan of your school because he went to school there, and we've got even some young people from our church that have gone up there. So anyway, thanks for being with us today. Hey, we're going to talk about questions on Christmas, if that would be okay.
Yeah, that's perfect.
And so it's great to do that. And one of the things I find is there are honestly, Dr. Dew, I want to giggle every time I say Dr. Dew, but there are honestly just sometimes some simple questions that I as a pastor get from people about Christmas. So let's start this first segment here about talking about what is Christmas about, because you get all kinds of questions. I have people talk about, you know, are the stories about Jesus' birth historically accurate? Did it happen? You know, why do we celebrate on December 25th? Isn't that related to a pagan holiday? You know, what about the virgin birth? Why, when you look in the Gospels, why were Jesus' ancestors included in that early narrative, you know, of his birth, you know? Did that census really take place? You know, what about Jesus' hometown, Nazareth, all that stuff? So anyway, you know, can you talk just for a moment, just start with a basic question. What is Christmas about?
Yeah, so for Christianity, obviously, Christ is the central figure of everything. And we believe very unique things about him that other faiths will either reject or they just don't have anything like this at all. And at the core of what we believe that Christ himself is God, and that there, and yet at the same time, he and the Father, he is the Son, so he and the Father are distinct from each other. There's a third person as well, the Holy Spirit, and so we affirm what we call the doctrine of the Trinity. There's one God and three persons in God, and at Christmas, what we're celebrating is the fact that God condescends to our level, that he stoops, if you will, down to our level by coming into this world, not just a ghostly figure, not as just some spiritual being of sorts floating around, but rather he takes on human flesh, and in what we call the incarnation, him taking on that human flesh. What Christianity has always affirmed is that in Christ you have a divine nature and a human nature in one person, and we therefore worship him and we build our entire life around him. So this is really sort of the if you will, the chronologically speaking, the first event of the Christ life that we celebrate, the Advent, the coming of Jesus, where he comes into this world to bring God's kingdom to earth, to restore that which is broken by our sins. And then, of course, there's going to be a variety of other events throughout his life and that we celebrate at different parts of the year, like Easter, for example. But ultimately, this is about Jesus' coming to us, Emmanuel, God with us. And because God is with us, we celebrate him, we worship him during this time.
Okay. So if we talk about Jesus and we talk about the birth, do you believe that, Dr. Dew, that the story of Christmas, the biblical story of Christmas, happened? And what I mean is that he was born in a town called Bethlehem, that there was a census, that Magi showed up. Now, you know, there's a we have to kind of get into that because a lot, most people look at the Magi showing up a little later than what we often hear of. But do you think that it's fairly factual what the story of Christ's birth, that it happened in such a way as it's described?
Sure, I do. And so when we think about the facts presented to us in the Bible, specifically about the Gospels, we think about those facts, we... I don't know if I can hear you. Sounds like I hear the radio.
You do. You do. We're going to be right back. So, Dr. Dew, thank you for staying with us here. We're going to come right back after the break and talk more about questions about Christmas here on the Call to Action Radio Network. And thank you so much for listening. Merry Christmas, everybody. Stay tuned. We got more great questions coming up. Welcome back. You are listening to Call to Action Radio. Steve Noble is away. His equally obnoxious friend, Chris Connell, is filling in today. And we're talking about questions on Christmas on Theology Thursday, sponsored by Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, awesome school in Wake Forest, North Carolina. And we got all kinds of awesome questions. We were getting into it, and I'm going to bring our guest back on here. This is Dr. Jamie Dew. Dr. Jamie, how are you?
Doing well. Sorry about the feedback on the last one.
No. It's actually, and I don't have any feedback, so if those are listening, sometimes when we're on the radio talking, you get some feedback through your headphones. You kind of hear your voice in an echo. Thankfully, I don't have it on my end, Dr. Dew, so I do apologize if you're getting too much on yours. So anyway, we were talking about questions on Christmas, and you know, and you were talking about that, that Christmas is the incarnation of Christ, and I was asking a really simple question about, you know, did the historical archaeological facts about Christmas, are they true? You know, are they made up? You know, was Caesar Augustus, did he decree a census? You know, did they travel to Bethlehem? You know, was she born in a manger? Some people think it was out in a cave. Someone was in a, you know, they have different ideas of what it looked like. But are the basic facts about Christmas, the gospel, historically true?
I think so. And I think when we look at the claims of the Bible about Christ, we can break them really into two categories. There's what I call the historical or forensic type of questions. This is about details in history, details in location, stuff that happened historically. then there's the supernatural questions. This would be the claims about him being God, the miracles he performed, being raised from the dead, things of that nature. Let's put those aside for just a minute, the supernatural questions. When it comes to just the basic facts and the forensic, that's an area where there's a tremendous amount of historical and extra-biblical support for so many of the different details that we find.
Like the town of Nazareth, like Bethlehem, like,
that's
you know,
right. That's
all
right.
Those things.
So all those places still exist. You know, the locations where these events took place are popular. Were popularly known at the time. They've been very well preserved. We can go to those places. We can see them. Just 2 years ago, I was in Israel right after Christmas and got to go into Bethlehem, see the place of his birth. And it really was something much more along the lines of a cave. And that's okay because, you know, the Bible in biblical times, people would use caves and other things like that as stables and stalls and things like that. Mangers were really troughs of stone, not necessarily these wooden figures that we have today. And we've got to be very careful that we don't read back onto history our little live nativities that we see around our yards and such.
With the Magi there that probably weren't there until he was a couple years old and all those things.
That's
with Dr. Jamie Dew. He's Dean of College at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. It took me a long time to say that efficiently, by the way. I always mess it up. But today's Theology Thursday, Call to Action. Steve Noble is away with family, so it's Chris Connell filling in. And, you know, one of the things I think is fascinating about Christmas is that I think that in general, Dr. Dew, in our culture, in Western culture, I think we treat Christianity with a great deal of mysticism, like it's make-believe. And what I mean is, I think many people might actually believe that the story about Jesus' birth, if we need to be that specific, not just his entire story, but is kind of made up, like we do Santa Claus. It's kind of made up things. But actually, no, it's really factual, and archaeological evidence backs it up. The individuals that are named in leadership and government are backed up in archaeology. Right. So you might want to argue about whether or not Jesus was God or not. We want to get to that in a moment. But you really can't argue, can you, that there was no Nazareth, there was no Bethlehem, you know, there was no Caesar Augustus. You know, you can't really argue those things, can you? Because they're actually fact.
That's right. I mean, so the person of Jesus Christ and the details that surround his life are perhaps the most well attested to person and events in the history of this world. I mean, Jesus turned everything upside down, and so you have all of Jerusalem and all of the Middle East considering this man during this time. It's the Romans, it's the Jews, and of course it's the Christ followers that come after him. And we can look at not just details in the Gospels or the Book of Acts that are given to us and find extra-biblical support for it, like locations and people and all of those things. But it's even down to the nitty-gritty of, like, the kinds of names that you would expect to find during that time.
Yeah.
So, for example, I always say to people, like, if, when I was born in the 1970s, a popular name...
You're that old? You're that old.
That's right.
No,
41 years old.
I was 1 year from the 69, so I was born in 70, so anyway, so you're
okay,
good.
Okay, yeah. And your name's Chris. And so back in the 70s, that was a popular name.
Very popular.
And parents name their children that. Today, they don't really do that. You know, each generation has their own names. And those names are sort of like time stamps, if you will, in the same way that pictures are. You know, you look at a picture and you can see, oh, they're clearly from the 70s or they're from the 90s or something like that. Names do the exact same thing. And when you go back into the New Testament and you look at the names, what you end up with are precisely the kinds of names that you would have expected to find from precisely that moment in history in that location of the world.
So another example of the history, I've often said this, Dr. Dew, I've actually said it in the pulpit, I said, if you want to deny the fact that Jesus walked the earth, Jesus of Nazareth, you have to deny all the Caesars, you have to go back, you have to deny that Alexander the Great existed, because there's more historical and evidence of all of that. And then there, you know, there's more evidence for Jesus than all those other people combined. And I think sometimes people think, well, no, you can't talk about Christianity and fact, you know, but you can, can't you?
Yeah, that's right. Josh McDowell famously said after he had done all of his research and was debating whether or not he thought Christianity was true, he said, I came to the conclusion that Christianity was either, and the events of Christ's life were either, the greatest single hoax ever played on mankind in the history of the world, or it was the greatest truth, most profound truth ever in the history of the world. And the reason he says that is because it's not just one or two Christ followers that would have had to been in on this scheme. per the skeptic's accusation, it would have been this entire civilization plotting and scheming together to say, hey, let's dupe future generations by making up this myth, and let's ingrain it in every single aspect of our culture and our life. So, and so the evidence
you can
is overwhelming.
Go. You've been there. You can actually go to places that historically they believe is where Jesus was born. So when we talk about the questions about Christmas, folks, we can't argue that Jesus of Nazareth was born. Now, where he was born, you can't argue all those things because there's more evidence and more history and more all kinds of things that come up. Archaeology continues to prove the Bible true over and over and over again. Now, let me jump to something before we get to the second break is, can we argue about the virgin birth? Can we argue about, is Jesus fully man? Fully, I mean, that whole story of Christmas is not just a facts and figures about who his mother was and where he was born and who Caesar Augustus was. It was also about, you know, this was a special moment, you know, angels appearing to shepherds and those kind of things.
Right.
You know, what about that question of the divinity of Jesus and his virgin birth and all those things?
Sure. So I think, so let's take that claim, the claim that Jesus was born of a virgin, as one of many claims that are of the supernatural category that I mentioned earlier. So you got the virgin birth, you got the fact that he was raised from the dead, that he walked on water, all of these types of miracles, right? And so the question is, do we have any reason to believe those types of miracles? Now, some of them would indeed be more difficult to try to prove. I mean, I can't actually prove to someone today that he was born of a virgin simply because that would require us to sort of go back in history with a time machine and, frankly, eavesdrop on Mary and Joseph that evening. But
right.
you could look at some of these claims and demonstrate those, like the resurrection, for example.
All right.
We could demonstrate
awesome. Those. Questions about Christmas. We got Dr. Jamie Dewis from Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. And we've got greater questions to come talking about teaching Christ at Christmas. Welcome back. You are listening to the Call to Action Radio Network, and this is Chris Connell. I'm a friend of Steve Noble's, filling in for him. I'm a pastor out of North Carolina. Shout out to my lead pastor, Chad Harvey, at RFA Church. But it is great to be here with you. We're talking today about questions about Christmas, and we've got Dr. Jamie Dewis, Theology Thursday, as you know, if you're a regular listener. And I'm going to go right to a question here. Dr. Dew, how are you?
Doing all right. Good to
all right,
be back
look,
with you.
Hey, I do have a question. It's nothing with Christmas. You and your wife, okay. I think you have a family, if I remember correct.
We do.
Have you ever once considered naming one of your kids Mountain? And has that ever crossed your mind one time?
Well, yes, because it's been suggested quite a few times.
Okay.
But, we decided not to go that route for obvious reasons.
I'd make a donation if you did. It wouldn't be very sizable, but it would be worth it for me just to do that. So anyway, I just think it's cool you have a name like Dr. Dew. That's just about as cool as it gets. So anyway, we're talking about questions about Christmas.
Sounds a bit like a comic book character, but that's
right. Exactly. I had somebody on Facebook Live ask this, and then somebody called in, but I'm not going to take them on the air. But they kind of similar questions. And so if I can jump to that, talking about questions about Christmas, this is Dr. Jamie Dew. He is the Dean of College with a few other titles as well at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. And thank you for them for sponsoring Theology Thursday. Dr. Dew, the question is, can an exact birth date for Jesus be determined? Can it be determined? Because I know we're pretty confident it probably wasn't December 25th. I did a recent reading, talked about maybe in September. But I'm curious if any thoughts on the exact date, if it can be determined or not.
You know, I suppose it's always possible that the exact date could, theoretically speaking, but it's also, I think, fair to say, thus far it has not, and probably proves to be very, very difficult to do that. I'm not too worried about that, though. I mean, I don't tend to think that anything about Christmas or what we are about as Christians theologically in celebrating Christmas is lost by not hitting it on the exact date, so to speak. You know, so to me, it's a question. It's an interesting question. It's a curious question, but it's certainly not a vital question for anything to do with our faith.
Got it. Yeah, I would agree with that. I do find it's curious. And I think sometimes when we talk about questions about Christmas, Dr. Dew, I think things like, oops, I just lost Dr. Jamie Dew. So, Dr. Dew, if you will call back, the number would be good to have you here talking about a question about Christmas. And one of the things that I find, folks, is that people will often talk about Christianity and say, well, it's a made-up religion, and they'll even say things like, well, you know, Christmas really isn't about the birth of Jesus because he wasn't even born that time of the year. But I don't really think, per se, that that's really that critical. I think that it's more important that we celebrate Christ. We do know a couple things. We know that there is evidences, as we talked about a moment, that Jesus was born at that time. Caesar Augustus was real. Quirinius was governor. They've got evidences of that. And so with all those things in play, a lot of those things are exactly the way they are told in the scripture. And I got Dr. Jamie back. So, Dr. Hey. Dew, sorry about that. You back with us?
That's okay. Yeah, I'm back with you.
Well, there's I've often said, and being that you're at a seminary, you might be able to verify this, that there's a place in hell for technology. Is that true?
Absolutely, man. It seems like when you need it the most, that's when it betrays you.
All right, so we're talking about the question about the time and the birth of Christ and those kind of things. Is it wrong for Christians to honor the birth of Christ on a time frame that is probably not exact to the birth of Christ? Because that's a simple question, but I think people ask that.
Right. I don't think so. I mean, because there's nothing. I mean, as we read through the Gospels, for example, and we're told about these events, there's nothing in these events that prescribe. Now, it's very descriptive. Here's what happened here and there, but it never prescribes any particular actions for us in terms of the time. Furthermore, as we think about the teachings of Christ himself as the gospel unfolds before us in the four pieces that we have, there's nothing there. When Christ tells us to go into the world, he doesn't say, go into the world and make sure you get my birthday right. He says, go into the world and make disciples.
Yeah.
And so this doesn't seem to be a point of emphasis by Christ or any of the gospel writers that we have to get this right.
Yeah, we do have
the exact date.
We can be pretty accurate with the death of Christ, right? With the death of Christ, we can be spot on with that.
That's right, because it's tied to historical events that we know about, the Passover, for example.
Yeah.
And so that one's a little bit easier to do.
Yeah. All right. Let me ask this. Questions about Christmas. Dr. Jamie Dew, Theology Thursday here. Dr. Dew is the Dean of College at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. A simple thing. Santa Claus, right? Jack Hayford used to say Santa means saint and Satan ain't, you know, because he was talking about people was thinking Santa was, it's the devil. Does it matter? I mean, I know it's a simple question, but it does happen in the body of Christ where people kind of get these strong opinions about these things like, oh, I should, you know, acknowledge or have fun with this or not. Any thoughts on Santa Claus?
Yeah, so I pastored a church. I actually pastored two different churches in my time. And I can remember one of the churches I pastored, this was a constant fight. Not necessarily the church splitting over type of fight or anything else like that, but it was a constant issue. Every year we had some people that had a tradition that they wanted to have Santa in the church, and they felt very strongly about it. And if you took that away, boy, it was trouble. And at the same time, you had some younger believers that this was a problem because this took away from Jesus, and there was always conflict and argument during this time. And to be honest with you, I sort of scratched my head at both sides. I don't see why there is such a push to keep him by some believers, and then at the same time, in terms of the Christmas practice, and then at the same time, I don't feel that, I don't think that Christianity is necessarily diminished by there being a figure Santa Claus. And so we've tried to, in our family, try to strike a middle ground between these two.
Yeah.
Santa was a historical figure, too. He was a saint. He loved Christ. He gave to people that were in need. And so
Saint
he's
Nicholas.
Associated with Christmas.
Yeah.
Agreed. I don't see that as a big problem.
Now, I do have someone who wrote in a question and said, can they leave their Christmas decorations up all year round? Do you want to answer that one, Dr. Dew?
I did one time. simply because we just, you know, by the time we got around to taking it down, it was June or July, and then we figured, well, heck, it's going to be around the corner. So I don't know
late.
If you should do that, but I have done it, so there's a precedent. Yeah. How about that?
And my wife, there's very few things. She's so patient. She has to be married to me. But she's like the Christmas decoration Nazi. Like, it gets to, like, February. She's like, that's it. Needs to come down, you know. But, that's very true. Here's another thing about questions about Christmas that come up. Should people give gifts or not? It's all about materialism. Is it okay to do that and all those things?
Yeah, I think in general, here I'd probably take the same type of approach I did on the Santa. I think on the one hand, it's a mistake to be materialistic, and if this is a very easy thing to do with our children, to make it all about presence. And if we're not in front of that with them, talking with them early about what this is about and doing things, then I think they end up doing that. And I think it's down to even simple things. On the day you're opening presents, do you allow your child to rip open the paper and see that they got a new basketball and then throw that basketball aside and go to the next one?
Right.
And just give me another one. I think if we do that, then we're sort of allowing a process to reinforce materialism. We've got to be very careful about that.
So
at the same time, I don't think that we have to not give presents. I mean, this is ultimately a time where we are trying to show the love of Christ, who is himself a gift to us, and so that we would honor someone or express our love or our gratitude or somebody through a gift at this time. I don't think it's out of bounds from a Christian perspective either. We just have to be very careful to harness these types of events to make sure that it doesn't become about presents and things like that.
Yeah. Questions about Christmas here with Dr. Jamie Dew from Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary and Call to Actions Theology Thursday. And so we've talked about the birth of Jesus and are the facts real and all evidence shows that they are. We've talked a little bit about his incarnation and him being both fully God and fully man and that issue. And also just not really being sure exactly of the date of his birth. Very sure about the date of his death. Not exactly sure that the year of his death. There's a little bit of scholarly challenges with that by a few years. They go back and forth on that, but on the day we're pretty straight on with that. But then, you know, the question about Christmas also gets into what you just mentioned, Dr. Dew, and that's leading your family well, or leading,
right.
And if you're not, you know, with a family, because not everybody's got kids and all those things, but leading those around you well. How do we do that? How do we, as followers of Christ, feel like we've really honored Christ in a Christmas tradition? Is not in the scriptures, and you know, Jesus,
right.
Like you said, never said, you know, celebrate my birth, which he did talk about, you know, remember my sacrifice, right? That's why we take communion. But how can we lead our families well at Christmas?
You know, so in our family, and I'll just tell you what we do. I don't know that this is necessarily the right way to do it or anything else like that. But in our family, we try really starting not just in December, but as early as, say, September, really, when we start transitioning into the fall and into this particular part of the year when we're coming towards it. You know, we start talking. Kids will always start throwing out, I want this for Christmas, I want that for Christmas. And we let them do that, of course. But then at the same time, what we try to do as a family is we challenge ourselves to give more to Christ for Christmas than we spend on ourselves. So, for example, if we're going to spend $1,000 on presents here, we want to spend more on Jesus. And so we begin talking about these things, and there's a bunch of customs that we have. Maybe we'll talk about the next segment. But there's customs we have to sort of help us get there and to do that.
That's awesome. Listening to Call to Action Radio. Dr. Jamie Dew is our guest today from Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, Theology Thursday. Questions about Christmas? If you want to ask a question, 866-348-7884. Because you are more than I could ever dream. This world could ever see. Welcome back. You are listening to Call to Action Radio. Steve Noble is out of town with his family, getting a well-deserved break. And this is Chris Connell, my friend of Steve's. I pastor, serving a team here at RFA Church in the Raleigh, North Carolina area. And Steve and I have been friends for a while. And today's Theology Thursday, as you know, and this is sponsored by Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. And we are talking questions about Christmas. If you want to call in and ask a question, 866-348-7884, 866-34-TRUTH, and we'll be able to put you on the air or at least take your question and answer it on the air. So anyway, Dr. Jamie Dew, welcome back. Good to have you here with us.
Hey, good to be back.
It is good to be back, and we're talking questions about Christmas. You're the Dean of College at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary in Wake Forest, North Carolina. Do you guys stay in town for the holidays, or do you travel?
We do. We will this year. We'll stay in town, and then we'll head out, go to Boone right after Christmas, in between Christmas and the New Year, and hang out with my wife's parents.
You might have a shot at some snow if you're out in Boone.
That'll be nice. Sometimes we get it there, and sometimes we don't, but this year, maybe so.
All right. Nice. So Dr. Dew is going to the mountains.
Yeah, that's right.
Is that right?
That's right.
All right.
Hopefully I'll be able to sneak away and do a little bit of writing while I'm there, too.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. All right, so we're talking about questions about Christmas, and we were with the last segment, we were talking about leading, you know, our family well and how we you know, invest properly in our family at Christmas and honor Christ and what we're doing. And would you continue on with your thoughts about that?
Yeah, so, you know, like I said, we try to develop various customs that start early in the fall when our children start talking about Christmas presents. We begin to remind them that as a family, we want to challenge ourselves to give more to something like the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, for example, which supports international missions as sort of a birthday gift to Christ. And we want to do more on something like that than we do spend on, like, basketballs and tennis shoes and video games and stuff like that. So we begin preparing them early. Then when December comes around, we start setting up our tree and all of those types of things. We begin to unfold a variety of different customs, like, for example, focused family devotions throughout the whole month of December where, you know, it's a little bit different from our normal devotions. In these devotions, we'll begin telling the Christmas story and spread that story over the entire month of December.
Oh, nice.
We use something called the Jesse Tree devotional that kind of lays out starting in Genesis and comes all the way forward.
If somebody wanted to get the somebody wanted to get that Jesse Tree devotional, where would they find it? Is it like an online thing?
I don't know. My wife found it. I think she was passed on to her from a friend, but I think she's been able to find some stuff on Amazon and some other things like that.
Jesse Tree.
We do things like read hymns together. A lot of the Christmas hymns, for example. We'll sing them, of course, but I'm a big fan of when we sing these songs, I want my kids to understand what they're singing.
Right.
And in these hymns, there's some of the richest theology about the incarnation of Christ that you could possibly find. And so something, for example, like Hark the Herald Angels Sing, you know, the text talks about this is God veiled in flesh, the Godhead we see. We hail the incarnate deity, pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. That's rich.
Yeah, it
is. And so I want to explain that to my little 7-year-olds and my 10-year-olds and make sure they wrap their head around that. And
sing it. Do your kids ever complain like, well, other families, you know, don't do all this?
Occasionally. I remember the last time they did was last year. This year they haven't as much because they've looked forward to it and it's coming. And what's really cool is that they can now begin picking up those hymns and explaining them to people. And so we do things like that. We also try to make sure, you know, going back to giving more to Christ than we do ourselves. One thing we did with our kiddos last week was we sat down and just said, hey, kids, you know, let's just imagine you got 6 presents for Christmas or something like that. Here's a challenge for you. Would you be willing to give up one of those and use whatever money mommy and daddy would use on that? And let's do something for a child through Compassion International. Maybe it's, you know, a set of AIDS medicine or a goat for a family or a set of chickens for a family. And we let them talk about it. We let them think about it. They came back to us and said, for the most part, they said, we'd like to give up 2 of our presents this year, and we do something like that.
Wow.
So things of that nature. We support other families in need in our own community with our small group. We talk about that openly.
I'm getting convicted here. I'm getting to figure, Dr. Dew. We need to stop.
Well, I just think these are things that our kids can see
and
really grab a hold to. Last night we had the opportunity to take those gifts that our small group actually collected, we were able to deliver those last night to a family up the road from us in Henderson, North Carolina. Yep. You got to take all 4 kids and walk into their home and sit and talk with them for a little while. And so, you know, things of that nature, those types of customs, I think that they're key for us as parents as we try to lead our children well and get them thinking about Christ at Christmas.
You know, we were talking, Steve and I were on the show yesterday, we were talking about the Christmas subject as well. And again, for just tuning in, you're listening to Dr. Jamie Dew, a guest with us, calling guest on the Call to Action Radio Network. Chris Connell filling in for him, talking about questions at Christmas. But we were talking to Dr. Dew about the Christmas. And I think one of the great things for a church, for a follower of Christ, is I think that it is one of the times a year that often people who don't go to church or don't go to church a lot or don't go at all might say yes. You know, especially if you have a relationship with them, a positive relationship, whether it's a neighbor or a coworker, a friend, a family member. And so we really try to encourage our church, like, look, let's invite people to join us, invite people in and those kind of things. And, you know, Christmas can be really lonely for a lot of people. It can be, for some, it's a greater reminder of what they don't have. And I'm not talking about material stuff, you know, per se, although that may be true of many. I'm talking about relationships or maybe they've lost a loved one. You know, you've pastored and you know people that, you know, the holidays can be very difficult, especially if they've recently lost loved one. And there's something special about inviting people into our lives at that time of year. And whether it's going to church with them or, you know, a lot of times we have Christmas often with our in-laws or my parents, and we often have people there with us that don't have anywhere to be for Christmas. You know, we just want to invite them in. And so I think it's an easy invitation time of year for
Absolutely.
Folks.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I think it's critically important for churches to make sure they don't close their doors on Christmas. And this will be one of those years where it's very tempting to do that because Christmas falls on Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
But to your point, you know, there's a lot of folks out there with nothing else to do those days. And I think it's also just important for the body of Christ to be together on those occasions to make sure that they have an opportunity to fellowship corporately and worship corporately together on those days as well.
Yeah, you know, I think we talk about the question about Christmas. I think that showing people, supporting people that are in need in our communities and giving back, you know, in secular psychology, they tell people who deal with depression to go invest their lives or part of their life in a charity. Jesus said it's better to give than to receive. There is something that I feel like when I make investments, whether they're small and not very sacrificial or greater and they're more sacrificial, I feel like I always end up getting back more than I gave. I don't know if that makes sense, you know.
Oh, no, it makes perfect sense. And the same thing as a teacher, same thing.
Yeah, and so I just think that it's really important as followers of Christ that we show that example. And you talked earlier about, you know, it's not that big of a deal whether you're into the Santa Claus or not, but it's a bigger deal about bringing Christ into your dialogue with your family, with those you're celebrating Christmas with, so you give him the right honor that he deserves at that time of year. And I just think that's really important to do that. You know, with your family and with those that you work with and you're around there at the school, do you find a lot of individuals that Christmas is a hard time of year for them, that it's actually kind of the opposite of what many people think would be a Christmas season?
Yeah, so typically two types of folks that you'll see that with. Somebody, A, that maybe didn't grow up with these types of traditions or with these types of, you know, family events that can be very difficult for them. People, like you mentioned, that don't have anywhere to go, it can be extremely lonely, and Christians need to remember that. We need to show compassion there. And then also, too, for people that have just lost someone. You know, maybe it's been their spouse died or a child died or a parent died or something like that. Or maybe a divorce took place at some point in the year and this is the first time that they've had to face this holiday without them. Those can be very difficult triggers for them, and we've got to make sure that we love these folks well, that we encourage them, we stand with them, and we provide what they need during this time. So, yeah, I do think for that, for a lot of people, it can be difficult like that, which is part of why I say, you know, one thing we can do to really celebrate Christ during this time is to make this as much as we can about other people and not about what we're getting.
Yeah. If you're feeling bummed out, if you're depressed, go invest in somebody else. We're talking about questions about Christmas with Dr. Jamie Dew from Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. Here's my last question, Dr. Dew. Why did Jesus come? That's, to me, one of the most important questions we can ask when it comes about Christmas. Why did
he come?
I
love that that's the closing question here. So let me start off with the right answer, but then suggest that there's more than that.
Awesome.
You know, a lot of songs will say that Jesus came to this world to die for our sins, and that's certainly not incorrect. Jesus did come into this world to die for us, to take our sins, to take those sins to the cross, to make atonement for them, and to make it possible for all of us to have eternal life. And so if you're listening today and you don't know Jesus Christ, what you need to know, and what I hope you take away from this show, is that God loves you. He loves you so much that he gave his son Jesus to die for you. And if you turn to Christ, he'll forgive you, cleanse you, and redeem you. But then that brings in the other thing that I want to say more about. It's not just that Jesus died so that we can now go to heaven. That's certainly true. But think about the people in the Bible that Jesus had an impact on. Say, for example, Jairus, whose son was dying, and he came begging Jesus, "Would you heal my son?" And Jesus said, "Go in faith, your son is made whole." I mean, that would forever change his life. Think about the woman caught with the issue of blood. Jesus, by her just touching him, he changed her life forever. And then there's thousands and tens of thousands, millions of stories, perhaps billions of stories just like that, from Jesus' time to ours. Jesus changes our lives not just for heaven, but he changes our lives right now. And we have to remember that. We have to celebrate that as well. It's not just that we're going to go to heaven. Christ gives us hope even for the now.
The gift of eternal life is wrapped up and underneath the tree of everyone's life, and it's their decision to receive it or to reject it. And at Christmas, if you're a listener, now is the time, if you've never received Christ, to reconsider and open that gift and receive what Christ has for you. Dr. Dew, thanks for being on the air with us today. You're always a great guest. So I appreciate your time.
Thanks, my friend. I've enjoyed it. Have a
Merry Christmas. You too. Well, you've been listening to Call to Action Radio Network. Great to have you with us today. Merry Christmas.